The following show is a replay of KTQA Daily Briefing. For more information, please call 253-330-8821 or visit us online at daily.ktqa.org. Good afternoon. It is 1 minute or two. Yeah, it is now 2 minutes after the hour of 6 p.m. on Wednesday, July 15th, 2020. And you are listening to the KTQA Daily Briefing, a daily update where we get information to the people of Tacoma about COVID-19, stay-at-home orders, the wearing of masks, hoping to be safe, hoping to get through this really as quickly as possible. Although, quickly sometimes takes a while, doesn't it?
It does.
My name is Sam, and with me is Becky. How are you, Becky?
I'm well, as usual.
Yes. Yes. Let's hope that continues to be true. Right. So I'm supposed to have something to talk to you about after I do the basic introduction, because it's usually, you know, the thing that talk show hosts do is they have some sort of anecdote or something to bring out a character of the person they're talking to sort of engage the audience. And I just, all I have is a meta discussion of what I'm supposed to be doing right now, because I have completely failed.
Well, would you like me to throw something at you that I have been up to?
Could you perhaps, Becky, do my job for me as you did on Monday?
I'd be happy to, Sam.
Okay.
Although it is much more fun having you, I guess, co-execute this job with me.
Yeah. Oddly enough, I like working with you for some reason. I don't know why that is.
Yeah. One scratches their head and wonders.
Yeah.
I have been channeling my inner woodland creature, my inner urban woodland creature, and taking care of invasive species lately.
Oh, is it blackberry season?
The blackberries are starting to ripen.
Yeah.
There will probably be about another good 2 months of blackberries from today. But the first dark purple and black blackberries are ripening, and I have made quick use of the invasive, horrible Himalayan blackberries that plague our immediate neighborhood.
You see, I'm used to kudzu, which you can eat, but you really don't want to. You know, invasive species that have no
tastiness factor,
no redeeming value whatsoever, other than the fact that they're plants and plants are nice. So the idea that tasty blackberries are an invasive species does throw me for a loop, and I have to take that pause and go, oh, right. Yeah, there probably are an invasive species because they are tasty. And the problem is that there's many species of berries and droops and whatnot local to this biome that are
threatened. They're getting squeezed out by these.
In fact, we tasted many of them this weekend, did we not?
Yes, I didn't say on Monday that I continued to channel my inner woodland creature by making quick of the huckleberries that were out in the Pinchot National Forest, Gifford Pinchot Forest, which, coming here as an adult to the Pacific Northwest, having not grown up seeing huckleberry bushes, it was fascinating and amazing to see these really pretty pink blueberries. And then I got told they're huckleberries. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, right. I'll still pretend to be a little black bear.
I did take my favorite picture I've ever taken of you, ever.
Oh, with me facing off with the salmon berry?
It's not my favorite picture of you ever. It's the best one I've taken of you, which is you brought me, because Becky wants to at least get some credit for sharing her
my bounty,
her gleaning with me. So she brings me a single berry after she has consumed roughly half a gross of them.
Well, you have to get them before the deer get them, so.
Right, which is why you eat them and only give me the one. And now, granted, it was an amazing species, or amazing, it was an exemplar of the species. It looked very,
it was a really pretty salmon berry.
It was a very pretty salmon berry, and you placed it on top of an upside down pint glass. And
apparently had a staring contest with
and decided to look at it for a while. I took a picture of it, and it looks like Becky is just really unimpressed with this single salmon berry sitting upon a pedestal. It's like, it's the weirdest induction ceremony I think I've ever seen, where you have to spurn the salmonberry. And I took a picture of you, and it was, I thought it was, I sent it to my dad.
Nice to stay connected with those of us around us who we can't be seeing in person. So,
I like how you connect that to the wider world.
Well, of course.
When I'm just really being kind of jerky.
There's always connections to the wider world as we stay home separately together.
Well, speaking of connections to the wider world, we do have a series of updates today. Shall we? Would you like to talk about berries? I mean, we've discussed berries. You're a woodland creature. Should perhaps we discuss acorns for a few minutes? Or actually, I don't know that I've seen an acorn in a very long time.
We don't have many oak trees
around us. They're not around here, yeah.
Nope. More pine cones.
Yeah.
Should I start with our perennial information, our informative information bits?
Why don't you?
All right. State level updates on COVID-19 are found online in multiple languages at coronavirus.wa.gov. Dialing 311 gets you to the City of Tacoma's non-emergency information line. Health department officials staff the coronavirus Q&A line 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. 7 days a week. That number is 1-800-525-0127. For interpreters in other languages, press pound when they answer and say your language. You can text the coronavirus hotline at 211-211 in any language. Dialing 211 connects you to community resources statewide through the United Way, and you can visit wa211.org online.
Well, start humming Beatles songs now, because today is tax day. Today, July 15th, is the deadline to file federal income tax. The deadline was extended from April 15th due to the pandemic, and free filing is available online at irs.gov. Moving on to state-level information, the governor has extended the pause on any counties across Washington moving to the next phase of reopening until at least July 28th. And it's good to have that right at the front, because then I know not to update the website. The governor has also noted that a rollback of reopening allowances and a return of some restrictions are potentially in our future, similar to what California and Oregon have announced in recent days. The Washington Emergency Management Division is hosting a public preparedness webinar on July 21st at 11:30 a.m. to talk about how to prepare for all hazards during COVID-19. Topics include financial preparedness, mental health support, online safety, and about strategically shopping and not overbuying, and preventing runs on things like toilet paper, for example.
I think that's the idea.
More info is available at bit.ly/DRWA webinar and on the Washington Emergency Management Division Facebook page. And you can also email public.education@mil.wa.gov. Again, all of these links will be available on our webpage, which is daily.ktqa.org. So you don't have to remember any of this. Just remember our handy and easy to remember URL, daily.ktqa.org. The State Employment Security Department will continue to focus on outbound calls through July 19th to resolve unemployment claims issues. Individuals can still submit weekly claims by phone using the automated system or call the General Questions Hotline at 833-572-8400 for help, but these agents do not have access to individual claims. Individuals can also report fraud at 800-246-9763. Job search requirements remain optional through August 1st while collecting unemployment. The State Department of Health released a report today showing that reopening schools may lead to a significant increase of COVID-19 in the population. A simulation showed that schools in King County may be able to reopen without sustained epidemic growth if protective countermeasures such as physical distancing, use of masks, and reduced mobility of individuals in the greater community, and if community-wide COVID-19 transmission is low. Without any countermeasures, the number of new COVID-19 cases in King County could double over the first 3 months of school openings. The full report can be found at doh.wa.gov in the newsroom section.
Moving on to Pierce County news. Pierce County residents ages 20 through 29 are showing a larger COVID-19 infection rate compared with their segment of the population. And the health department urges young and old alike to continue staying physically distant from those outside one's household and wearing masks when interacting with others. Pierce County Parks is facilitating a Quarantine 19 virtual fun run where residents are challenged to complete 19 kilometers between August 1st and August 19th. Runners, walkers, and users of wheeled transportation may sign up and learn more on Pierce County Parks Facebook page or go to piercecountywa.org and look for the Parks and Recreation page. A note that I think that users of wheeled transportation refers to individuals who utilize wheelchairs or bicycles. So sorry, Sam, you can't sign up to drive your 19 kilometers. That's not the idea here.
You're heading me off on the pass on that one.
Well, I've already been upfront about saying that I am I don't consider myself a runner. I prefer other kinds of physical recreation, which sadly I can't partake in at this time since the community pools are closed. But, you know, I mean, the 5Ks, 19Ks, it's something that maybe could be a gentle introduction for individuals who are a little bit intimidated by running since it's all virtual. No one's watching you, you know, so that could be cool.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be done all at once. You can do it in segments. Let's see. We've got some more Pierce County news.
3 meters ago.
Joint Base Lewis McChord's annual Freedom Fest, which was postponed from July 4th to late August, has been canceled due to unsafe levels of coronavirus in the community. JBLM's Family, Morale, Welfare, and Recreation Department is looking at the possibility of hosting smaller outdoor events, such as movies or live music, where attendees would be able to maintain physical distance.
I think a resurgence of drive-in theaters is a fine thing.
I think we're already seeing it in many locales, and that's pretty cool.
Well, sort of, here and there, but I think it might be time to consider,
the true resurgence of it.
Right. Quite possibly, with, like, you know, movies that maybe you can't see at home.
Yeah.
Moving on to Tacoma, today, July 15th, is the last chance to apply for Tacoma's Rental Housing Assistance Lottery. Up to $1,000 is available per qualifying household. Information and application information is available at cityoftacoma.org/coronavirus. Metro Parks Tacoma continues to offer free lunches for kids from noon to 1 p.m. Monday through Friday at Franklin, Portland Avenue, South Park, Wapitope, and Wright Parks, and at the Verlo Playfield. Tacoma Public School families in need of food assistance beyond youth meals can call 253-571-7980 to be linked with resources for food box pickup every Wednesday throughout the summer.
And now on to information about testing sites, because there are numerous free testing sites in our region. For Seattle locations, visit seattle.gov or call 206-477-3977. For other King County locations, visit kingcounty.gov. For Pierce County locations, visit the Tacoma Pierce County Health Department's website at tpchd.org/COVID test. Patients can also, of course, call healthcare providers for tests. In general, patients should arrive at testing sites wearing face coverings and expect the process to take about 15 minutes. Some of the testing sites offer rapid test results, while others have a 48-hour turnaround time.
All right. Well, those are the updates that we have for today. We had a fairly extensive conversation at the startup, so and anything else to add before we move on to today's interview?
Just make sure to, if you can't beat them, eat them, regarding blackberries and invasive species.
Sounds good to me.
I confused you a little bit on that one.
Yeah,
I
was like, where is she going with this? But again, it's about invasive species and blackberries and whatnot. They make a fine cider, too. Anyway, you can dial 311 for City of Tacoma non-emergency information. You can dial 211 for statewide community resources. Our email address is daily@ktqa.org. Or you can call or text us at 253-330-8821. Now onto the interview.
Elise Rylander is the Executive Director Emeritus of Out There Adventures and a partner with Northwest Youth Corps for the establishment of Rainbow Crew, a program for queer youth to be involved in conservation work. Welcome, Elise.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Did I get that all right in my introduction? Seems to be a lot of different overlapping agencies and initiatives.
Yes, yep, you got it right. We work with a lot of wonderful partners, for sure.
Well, I'm excited to be talking specifically today about Rainbow Crew, but also Northwest Youth Corps in general and Out There Adventures, because as our listeners, I'm certain by this time know, July is when Tacoma celebrates LGBTQ Pride Month. So can you tell us a little bit about Out There Adventures and the Rainbow Conservation Crew?
Yeah, so Out There Adventures, or OTA, is a 501c3 based in the Northwest. Housed primarily out of my living room, which is in Bellingham. But we work with folks all over the Northwest and actually all over the U.S. And our niche is to help connect LGBTQ youth and young adults to outdoor opportunities. So one of the ways that we do that is through partnering strategically with different conservation or outdoor ed organizations to help support their LGBTQ-specific programming. And that was how the relationship between OTA and Northwest Youth Corps kind of came about.
Well, Northwest Youth Corps' Rainbow Conservation Crew really caught my eye because I personally love Mount Rainier, and the Rainbow Crew was doing work around the Mount Rainier National Park. Am I right in that? Did I get those details right?
Yes. Yep. 4 weeks of conservation work out at Rainier, and I actually just got to go visit them with, you know, safe social distancing protocols in place this last weekend at the Longmire Campground.
I was going to ask how some of the activities have changed or pivoted during the pandemic to ensure that, you know, both the youth workers are safe and the adults that are presumably spending time with them and leading them and skills building with them are also safe.
Yeah, so our partners at Northwest Youth Corps NYC have done a fantastic job in putting in place COVID-specific measures to help protect the crews and the communities that they're supporting. You know, for example, when I went to visit the kiddos this last weekend, I was only allowed to be there for about an hour and a half. And whenever we're in close proximity, I had to wear a mask, as did the kiddos. And they are a, you know, functioning, healthy unit because they all self-quarantined before they came on the conservation corps. And anytime that they interact with the public, you know, they're all masked up and just trying to maintain that healthy ecosystem that they have going on for the duration of their either 4 or 5 weeks with the program.
So when we talk a lot or hear the health department talk about quarantining with members of your household, what I'm sort of envisioning is that this conservation crew has created their own kind of family or household, if you will. I imagine that's something that is of particular value to queer youth or LGBTQ youth who can sometimes feel alienated.
Outside of COVID times, that sort of speaks to what's at the core of the work that we do. You know, when you're out with a conservation group or you're out on a backpacking trip for 14 days, you know, those sorts of experiences create what feels often like a bit of a family unit. And the queer community is no stranger to the idea of chosen family. And that's what we end up feeling like at the end of an experience together. So yeah, you're totally right on. And that sort of what we're able to provide for the kiddos and for those that do have families that are super supportive and have been, it's just a great augmentation. And for those that maybe don't have that experience or that privilege, it's a really great opportunity to be able to see that and feel that, you know, and understand what they can sort of search for as they continue to move through their lives. That helps create a feeling of community and connectedness in their authentic identity.
Well, let's get into a little bit of the nitty gritty of what the youth workers are actually doing. I'm imagining it's not just hanging out at the Longmire cabin and saying, yes, I'm with my amazing family. They're doing some conservation work that could. Is it like invasive species trail clearing? Is it, you know, interpretive things for visitors? What's going on? What are the activities that the youth are involved in?
Yeah, the youth are involved in a lot of, like you said, invasive species removals, and they're creating rock walls, building trails, putting in water bars or repairing them. So, I mean, the work that they're engaging in is extremely physical work, and it's not any different than, you know, the rest of the youth conservation corps that NYC would put out across the rest of the summer.
And how are the adult leaders or mentors that are with this Rainbow Conservation Crew maybe trained a little bit differently, or are they?
You know, that's kind of ebbed and flowed this year with COVID, whereas in previous years, I've been able to go to the base camp before all of the crew leaders take off for the summer for their various crew assignments. And walk through kind of an introductory conversation around how to support not just the kids in the Rainbow Crew, but how to support their youth across the different crews. Because we know that not all of the queer kids that are going to come through, you know, NYC's programs are going to want to participate in that particular crew. So in the past, we have been able to help them through a little bit of a workshop training around LGBTQ allyship so that all those crew leaders have that sort of foundational language and knowledge. And then outside of that, you know, if I have the ability, we'll try to support the LGBTQ or the queer crew leaders in particular around some of the learnings, you know, that we've had over the past number of years doing this. But otherwise, we, you know, rely on their training and their lived experiences as queer folks. And I think that's another beautiful component of this partnership. Is not only being able to support and amplify the queer youth crew members, but also being able to support and amplify the queer crew leaders as well.
So how have you kind of been spending your summer? Have you, you said that you were able to stop by and visit the Rainbow Crew at Longmire. Are there other kinds of programs that you dart around the Northwest, visiting youth and things like that?
Yeah, so this is actually the first summer in my 15-year career in the outdoor industry that I'm, you know, not in the field leading courses. You know, I'm not a conservation person by training. I'm squarely housed in outdoor education. So I've never been a crew leader with our Northwest Youth Corps conservation crews. But in the early years, we did do an outdoor education component where the youth would do 4 weeks of service, and then they would come for a week of sea kayaking outdoor education with me in the San Juan Islands. So I led those trips. And then, yes, doing different site visits to our different conservation crews and other programs that we have running. But this year, I actually took a position with another nonprofit in the industry, so I had to take a step back from my time leading the trips, but it was so wonderful to be able to go down and visit the kiddos at Longmire this last weekend and get to meet them and see the great work that they've been doing and hear their great stories, and they're having a fantastic time, so it was really heartwarming to be able to see that.
And Elise, you said that you're squarely in the outdoor education realm, but what motivated you specifically to sort of marry this this field of outdoor education, but then also supporting LGBTQ youth and leaders in the industry as well?
Yeah, I mean, that's identifying a gap, not seeing any LGBTQ specific outdoor programming when I was in college and looking to enter into that as a career beyond my time at the University of Wisconsin. And I, at the time, I had a lot of great mentors who encouraged me to create something if that something didn't exist. So that was the kind of base motivation. And then as things got moving along, I feel like that was sort of exacerbated, you know, and continuing to identify the enormity of the issue in the outdoor rec economy. You know, queer folks are not represented in so many different ways, and we are seeing that change a bit. In the last 5 years, I think with the Supreme Court ruling on gay marriage in 2015, that helped sort of create a bit of a movement in the broader culture, which then trickled down to the outdoor recreation economy at large. But, you know, we still have a long way to go, you know, and it's hard to be what you can't see. And so it feels really important to, you know, even though we have some small wins in the visibility with entities like Patagonia and Jenny Brusso with Unlikely Hikers and these sort of outdoor social media influencers, we still don't have great representation or space for queer youth voices to be heard in the outdoor space. And so that feels like a continued, you know, motivation when it comes to our work with our LGBTQ kiddos.
Well, Elise, how can folks learn more about any of the programs that we've mentioned, either Out There Adventures or Northwest Youth Corps or the Rainbow Conservation Crew?
If you type in Out There Adventures in any Google search, that'll direct you to us. The same with Northwest Youth Corps, and, you know, kind of any combination of LGBTQ outdoors is going to point you in the direction of OTA, Northwest Youth Corps, and some of our other programming, including the LGBTQ Outdoor Summit, which is an annual conference that we put on now for LGBTQ youth and adults every year.
Elise, any particular favorite hikes in the Northwest or around Tacoma that you'd recommend for folks that are maybe doing a day trip but are wanting to enjoy the outdoors but stay safe and socially distanced from others outside their household?
Oh, my goodness. You know, when I was living in Seattle, the interurban was just such a great spot to be able to get out and about.
Well, awesome. Thank you so much for joining me today to talk about all kinds of ways that LGBTQ youth can be involved in getting outdoors, participating in environmental conservation, and learning about nature conservation and outdoor ed.
Yeah, well, thank you for taking the time and sharing our story.
Elise Rylander is the Executive Director Emeritus of Out There Adventures and a Northwest Youth Corps partner for the establishment of the Rainbow Conservation Crew, a program for queer youth to be involved in conservation work. Thank you so much.
And that was today's Daily Briefing. Dialing 311 will connect you to the City of Tacoma Non-Emergency Information Line. Dialing 211 will connect you to statewide community resources. Our website, where you can get all the links we mentioned today, is at daily.ktqa.org. You can call or text us at 253-330-8821. Talk to you on Friday.
KTQA LP 95.3, Tacoma.